This morning, I think that we need to do some focusing and go a little deeper as to what the Lord wants to do when we look at the cross. And that's why I had Jesus is the winner man. I think about the whole idea of that song, and there's a song connected to that. Well, let's bow in prayer. Father, as we look at the cross, we're going to take another look. This time, there's a lot of traditions that we know about the cross. We know already. We know enough, Lord, even to the fact that it changed our lives. For that, Lord, we thank you. It's a picture that's why we have communion. And he says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. We remember that, Lord. That's going up to the cross. That's going up to the cleansing. That's going up to the justifying and your mercy and grace and all that have taken place. All that it went through, Lord, we thank you. But that was only the beginning. Some thought that he was a failure, but that was only the beginning for us. Help us to go a little bit further and go a little bit deeper and take a closer look at what's going on here. And then as those of us now on the other side of the cross, those of us who are saved, and those of us who are your part, your family, Lord, we just want to ask that you take us closer and give a greater understanding of what this is all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is the winner man. Let's go to the first slide. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. The Greek word is as telestai, it's finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. We want to deal with these verses as we reflect on the life and finished work of our Lord Jesus. There were three words mentioned on the cross that guaranteed our salvation and victory. His words, however, settled the position of sin in the family of God. His words were, it is finished. And let me tell you something. When the Lord says it is finished, quit talking about the good old days and everything else. It's finished. It's washed away. Through the blood. Don't dig it back up. Don't remember it if you have remorse over it. It's finished. It's over forever. Stay out of the past. Let's get in the present and look for the future. Our Lord's words were not in defeat, but a sure display of God's love, mercy, and grace. That's why he couldn't bow down to Satan. When Satan told him to bow down to me and I'll give you, but please. he's gonna bow down to his created. And then whatever the created had, he's in control of it. And Satan said, if you bow down to me, I'll let you have all of this. And the Lord said, nah, he had a bigger picture. And we must see what that bigger picture is. We need to understand God's plan of reconciliation for the whole world. One man's sin and the whole world was plunged into sin and placed under the eternal wrath of God. God was not willing that any man should perish. Any man. And when it says that he died for the whole world will not be saved. As many as receive him, to them gave he the power. Becomes the sons of God. On the other hand, God's response was to personally get involved and use Christ, God the Son, to redeem man through his blood to satisfy the holiness of the Godhead. Man sinned, there was nothing to compensate for that sin, you see. Let me just pause right now to say that when you are offended or when you have sinned against a brother or whatever, for a person to forgive you, you have to pay the price. When you say, I forgive you, you can't bring it back up. You cannot use it in any other scenario. You may as well, like a crack in the egg, once that yolk is out, throw the shell in the garbage, it's done. Okay? And so we kind of put this into three parts. The intention is not long, but I hope insightful. We need to understand the dynamics of the cross. We need to understand the importance of the cross. And we need to understand the importance of unity and bonding by Christ and the cross. First, let's start off with our first slide then. And we talk about it. We go to the next slide. Ready? We need to understand the dynamics of the cross. How is this done? Looking closer, when you go closer to the cross of Calvary, look what took place on Calvary. They do it around Easter in a way, where the resurrection of Christ. Everything that took place on the cross, it's not only that he had to do that to die on our behalf. What Jesus Christ went through, now, whenever we're confronted with it, I like the term that and have been sticking with me, what Brandon said, Jesus will meet you. Jesus will meet you at the cross. It's an offense against God, his blood covers that. But as we on the other side of the cross, there's some things we will be living in and going through. And guess what? Everything that happened on that cross of Calvary is what you and I find ourselves going through. We go through suffering. We could go a whole list on that. I've spent much time on suffering, the levels of suffering. And we ask God why. And Jesus said, I'll meet you. I've been there. I know what suffering is all about. I know what pain is all about. I'll meet you. You're not going through no pain that I have not already approved in your life. So whatever suffering you're going through, the only that suffering is it hurts the outside, but it should not cause the inside to mess up. That's who you're walking with, the Lord, if you're walking in the Spirit. If not, then we run into a problem. We run into a rock in a hard place. You can suffer. And then here's what happened when you suffer the wrong way. When you suffer the wrong way, and God is not going to tell you that you're going to suffer for a minute. Sometimes it's years. And there are a number of folks on the books that have suffered for years and died in their suffering, but not killing their joy. Because you see, if you don't handle suffering, then suffering got a hold of you. Suffering is the development of you as an individual. Suffering, all of these are time sensitive. We will never affect this anymore. Why? Look at the cross. Did Jesus Christ suffer? Check it off. Yep, sure did. Are you going through some things that you're suffering? Probably so. It's not comfortable, but you know what? It's not the end. Telestai, he has finished it. And he says, and Jesus will meet you in your suffering. Pain, Jesus will meet you in your pain. Did Jesus suffer pain? They beat him before they put him on the cross. They put nails in his hands and in his feet. They have done so many things, and the whips on his body. He was beaten beyond recognition. You talking about pain? He said, "Oh, I know pain. I can feel pain. I can feel pain when the disciples left me. All of them ran. I told them they were going to run. They were going to run. Pain? Pain when the Father turned his back on me for the first time in all eternity because I bear the sins of the whole world. When you look at the cross, it's more than down at the crossroads. You know, I was up there for you, not only for your past sins, but all that you'll go through until I take you home, your pain. They're suffering from loneliness. And Jesus Christ was left alone. His disciples, apart from John, they ran. He told them they ran. They would run. Ridicule from the Pharisees to the thieves on the two thieves on the cross. Denial. His own disciple. Cursed and sweat. I never knew him. Rejection. All of this happened to our Lord and Savior on that cross of Calvary. But he was taking it to the point where it would all be tied up into the blood that was shed on our behalf. Sensing his, sensing the lack of God's presence. There are times in your life when you feel that God, does God really care what I'm going through? And Jesus made it very clear. We'll never leave. On the other side of Calvary, I'll never leave you. Your family. Family. And I don't want to be harsh here. You operate as a team, but we are a family. I'm going to push that because family is what we are. Family is what we do. Family is why we take the Lord's Supper. Family around that table of the Lord's Supper, where it says a person who taken in an unworthy manner. Those who sit at the table who were not saved, they don't take it or you'll be under judgment. Family, family. And seeing the lack of God's presence, you will never experience it again. How do I know? Because Jesus will meet you and has met you on the cross of Calvary. If you have not given your life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then I think that we need to rethink where we are in this whole process. Understand this, whatever we encounter in life, Jesus will be there to meet us. That's what I like about, the Lord is my shepherd. The whole picture, you just snap the picture. Jesus is not following behind the sheep. See? Jesus is following in front of the sheep. And he's leading them and he's guiding them. I was in Germany and Karlsruhe, Germany. And in Germany, I had my office as a chaplain assistant. And there was a window there where the army permitted the shepherds to take their sheep over the grass because the sheep cut the grass and everything up by eating it. And I watched the shepherd. And he said, and I watched the sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I watched the whole flock of sheep. Follow the shepherd. There were certain sounds that they knew that's my shepherd. And guess what? There are times in your life, on your life, and when you see Christ on the cross, he's going to say, there are times when you're going to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the midst of your pain and rejection, you're going to go through. And my encouragement to you is first, get your eyes off of yourself and then put your eyes on God. You say, that's hard. Yeah, it's hard. Notice it's not impossible. And so when God tells us to do this, he says, when you focus on him, it's at that point you feel that perfect peace. Here's the next. We need to understand the importance of the cross. Why is this so important? There are non-negotiable terms that must be in place. Everyone must be chosen and called by God. If one that comes to church, if one going to Bible study, look, listen. If God did not choose called division, if God did not choose you before the foundation of the world, you will not be saved. Now you argue that out with him. See, but it says, it talks about for as many as receive him, to them give he the power become sons of God. No man comes unto me except my Father draws them. You have to be drawn by God. God chose before he even formed the world the whole program of who's going to be in his family. Now, I want to get into all the theological rumble jumble in this area. This is not the place to do it. But I do know it's biblical. Everyone must believe, trust, and act on the word of God. That Jesus is God who came in the flesh. Jesus is God who his death, burial, and resurrection was on our behalf, not his. And we must ask him to be our Savior and to forgive us of our sins. If that has not happened, it's non-negotiable. You are not saved. I don't care if you sing in the choir, you hit the best boards, and you are intelligent, etc. Listen, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is God, the Son of God, and that we are sinners, we can't save ourselves, you're deceiving yourselves. I was in a recent conversation, and I asked, and it was the second time this happened in my ministry. And I asked the person, "Are you saved?" And the person talked for at least 5 minutes. And background, all the things that, and I said, "That's not the question I asked was, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? When will you say?" Never answered the question. I didn't argue. I let the person continue to talk. The timing would have been wrong. There's a lot of things people are doing, and well, the quote in the whole Baptist church, on the motherboard and all these other things, and none of works of righteousness that we are saved. It's through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everyone must be drawn by the love, mercy, and grace of God. Everyone that's in God's family, all of us on the other side of Calvary, all of us who are part of God's family, part of the kingdom, adopted sons and daughters of God, everyone must possess a new eternal nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. They call it a paradigm shift. And so when that happens, we receive a new nature. Now, of course, you know that the battle becomes more intense because now you're fighting with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And there, so we run into some real challenges. The next one is everyone must understand the counsel and guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, part of Godhead. Each one have their specific responsibility. And when you look at the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ said that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever, forever. Right now, he's our counselor. Sometimes we can't get a prayer through. Jesus will meet you. The Holy Spirit say, "I'll take this." When you can't get a word in, I think about a number of things that happened this past 2 weeks, just incidents. And I said, Lord, you're good. Thank you. I didn't see that. Thank you, Lord. Each time, sometimes the Lord will lay in my heart, don't do that, do this. Don't do that, do this. And as I follow the instructions, I'm here to tell you this moment, this morning, Jesus will meet you. You have God the Father, God the Son, who, if you mess up, confess up. That's, I better write that down. If you mess up, confess up. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everyone must love God with their whole heart and mind. Which means what? Being totally sold out to the will of God first. And that's why when we have a, I got the outline for the congregation that the Lord laid on my heart. I see others are quoting it. It's, and we have not even known each other. Gus Tucker said, that thing that you gave us, it's on, I think it was on one of the YouTubes. I said, that's good. I said, praise the Lord. At least it's confirmed what I share with the congregation that we've been on. Faith, family, finances, fitness, and friends in that order. You'll walk with God with your wholehearted mind. You'd be surprised what Psalms 112 says about a good man and what he does and how it's a blessing for his children and all he's in contact with. Everyone must be adopted into God's family, becoming joint heirs with Christ. We are family, period. And being a family, of course, we talked about gifts. Each one of us have a responsibility as to what we're supposed to do with the gift in the family. There's no freeloaders. You come up with your own system and get your feelings hurt if you want to. Listen carefully. We are family, and God wants us as a family to meet and also to meet and greet and encourage one another. God's whole agenda is around family. Because you see, once we get into glory, now you see the whole family, all those who've been saved through the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those being brought in from the Old Testament, New Testament, they're neither a Jew or Gentile, they're neither bond or free, male nor female, etc. We are family. We will be under a new structure. We are saved by grace. It's grace alone. I think that's so important. That's why I said we have to understand the importance of the cross. It's more than him going up and then being nailed to the cross and he takes on our sin. But not only does he take on our sin and we're forgiven, then now you got another battle on your hand. The world, the flesh, and the devil. How do you handle that? At the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. You go to the cross and Jesus says, oh, I got this. Oh, I got this. Lord, I feel hurt. I got this. Lord, I feel discouraged. I got this. Jesus says, I'll meet you, but it has to be at a certain place, the cross of Calvary, what he has done. We need to understand the importance of our unity and bonding in Christ. Why is this point emphasized? Jesus prayed for our one, the Father, I would that they be one as we as one. So now we're not talking about numerics now. When we say we're one, this oneness is one in essence. We can be different, talk different and everything else, but one in essence and purpose, we are one. And so Jesus Christ says, Father, I pray that they become one as we are one. Now, I've heard groups and various organizations say that Jesus is one, the Holy Spirit is one, and God is one. and they're all one particular person. And not so. We can argue that all the way from Genesis all the way down to what we're talking about now. Because God, when he created man, said, let us make man. That was not a grammatical error. Us means there are others involved. And Jesus Christ, who's he praying to? No. So I don't even want to go there. Let me stop right there. And so he prayed for our oneness. This oneness will give direction, peace. This oneness will wipe out any type of negativity because we're still going to have our battle with the flesh, and that might rear up in our time together. But we should be quick to forgive. See? So that's why it says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. They wasn't talking about the unsaved. He's talking about family. And how should I forgive? Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. I don't think I can do that. Meet me at the cross. Let me show what Jesus did. Telestai. It was finished. God's sovereign will is that we recognize that we are one body in Christ. Our unity enables and encourage one another. God is glorified. Why? Because if we follow God's plan, then we abide in him. And when we abide in him, God is glorified. And the world has a witness because of the church. All the world can, they may ignore the church. They may bomb the church. They can do everything they want with the church. But God has a limit as to how much this world would do to his people. We have a patient God. And the length of his patience, can you imagine the extent of his wrath? That when he turns it loose, there is mercy and grace will step out of the room as he move into each one of these lives. It's a testimony to a world that is in the grip of Satan. When you walk out of your door, we walk out of the church door, look at these folks. Many times I ask the question, how many of these folks will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior? Last Sunday, after one morning worship, there's a lady that came to me in tears. And she said, I want to make that change. I really do want to make that change. And so I said, can we talk? I said, sure. So I, of course, we sat out on the bench there and then go into the office, but yeah, on the bench. And she began to share her heart and where she was at. And I took to share the plan of salvation. Whether she did it with all her heart, listen, I'm not in control of that. I took the time. I shared the word. She was in a place where God was able to speak to her heart. And she was very thankful. It just so happened that that day that we had that dinner, and I said, they're having food out there. I said, they're having food downstairs? I said, yeah. I said, may I have? I said, sure. Go on down and have dinner. She, when she saw me and hugged me and everything else, I said, thank you, Lord, that I'm available to share the word, to take her to the cross, where everything, well, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. When you look at the cross, look at more than the payment, but the provision that Jesus Christ had for us, even after he had died for our sins. Telestai. It's finished. There's no need to be stressed out. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And if you're still carrying those burdens, it's not because God is harder on you. It's not because of any of these things. There are some times that God will take us through some things to develop us. I believe, and I have to go back and look at this again, but I believe that it was Psalms 65. And it talked about the whole idea about all that God says, and God tested Israel, and everything that Israel had to go through, God put them through the test. I mean, you would think that they sinned against God. God is getting us ready for something far bigger and much greater, glorious than we can even imagine. It's my desire that we decide, because based on the decision, based on our decision to give it the program, to understand that everything we do is in Jesus Christ and through what he his plan for our lives. He is our shepherd, and there's nothing else can fit that. You want to be popular? Go ahead and be popular. But guess what? It ends at the grave. You want to have money? Go ahead. God permit you to have it. But it ends at the grave. If you have Christ, you just go through the transition of being absent from the body and being present with the Lord. So I thought that I would share this with you, these moments. If you take a closer look at the cross, oh, they'll be going over the around Easter, they'll be going over the seven last words and whatever. Okay, I just want you to understand that so the cross is also our place where we go with all of our cares, our victories, our cares, our frustration, our pain. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 says this, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. God called you. You called on him with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of our calling. See, that keeps saying this call, call, call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. I praise the Lord for God's word to meet us in every area that we need clarity on. So one last thing. Jesus is our winner man. He's got all the bases covered. Matter of fact, we possess a power that when we hang out with the Lord, we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. We can resist the devil, and the devil will put on his Michael Jordans and flee from us. His death, burial, and resurrection was not a loss, but the new beginning for all of us, of those who have been called, justified, redeemed, sanctified, and glorified to the glory of God. Our responsibility is to live like it by aligning our lives with the Word of God. Choose well, for each of us must give an account of our actions. Amen. Amen. I just pray right now that the Lord will really speak to your heart and trust that the Lord says something to you that will make a difference from this day forward. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for taking us closer and taking a closer look at the cross. Everything we need has been settled at the cross. From the forgiveness of sin, fortification as to who we are, a fortress, Lord, as we think about our protection, everything that we will confront, be confronted with, is covered, was covered at the cross. Thank you, Lord. That those of us who come to you, you say, Lord, you will no wise come cast away, that we are in your hands forever. I pray for those who are considering believing in Jesus Christ and not following through. It's their loss. Help them to understand, Lord, that if they die in their sins, mercy stops at the grave. Your love and everything else, it becomes, at this point, there's an end. It was their choice to be thrown into the lake of fire with Satan and his angels. But for all of us who know you as Savior, help us, Lord, not to cheat ourselves. Settle for stuff that only lasts for a little while. Help us, Lord, that whatever we're going through, our first choice is, and you told us, to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Because whatever happens, this too shall pass. Thank you for the victory at the cross of Calvary. Help us, Lord, to live out that victory every moment, every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so one does.